from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And Robert Jr. will earn himself a walk.
Look, this is still a 3-0 game. And the longer you let a team hang around, the easier it is for them to come back with a couple of runs late and make it really tight. That's why I would say if Luis can get the same kind of jump that he had a couple of at-bats ago back in the third inning, you might as well take off and try to steal second.
There goes Luis Robert Jr. And the ball gets away from Fortes. Second stolen base of the game for Luis.
He wouldn't have thrown him out even if he handled that one and got the throw off cleanly, because Luis was off to the races.
Highlight courtesy NBC Sports Chicago White Sox TV. Hour 2 of Inside the Clubhouse, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haugh today. Bruce, I've only heard our next guest, who joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, I've only heard him correctly predict baseball plays, a few hundred or a few thousand times over the years.
Maybe a few thousand for sure. We are delighted to bring in my friend and score expert for the White Sox, Steve Stone, this morning. Steve, again, it's still really enjoyable listening to you and John do games. Even when there's not a lot of winning going on, there's a lot of baseball acumen going on. So thank you for that.
Well, hi, Bruce. Hopefully you're having a good morning. And the Sox are playing better baseball. I mean, you know, there's stages you go through. And one of them is to get competitive in most games. And I think what we're seeing from the Sox is they've improved in that department. They are in many more games than they're not at this point of the year. I know early in the season they were getting blown out a lot. They were just giving games away consistently with every aspect of their baseball abilities, and that's not happening now. The pitching has gotten very good. The defense has improved. They're scoring a few more runs that they've been scoring, but all things considered, although it's not championship quality at this point, it still is considerably better than it was, which is a great step.
No, and Stoney, we were talking last segment about Drew Thorpe, who got another win last night, and he has certainly been, I know Sox fans probably didn't know much about him coming into, as he was called up about a month ago, but the key piece, one of the key pieces in the Dylan Cease trade, he has been pretty amazing in his first five starts here for the White Sox.
Well, I think he's part of the reason why the starting rotation has really gotten considerably better. The last three starts, Drew has gone at least six innings, which means you're getting 18 outs, you're leaving the bullpen nine outs, and they can cover nine outs because you've got eight guys down there to cover them. And I think that's been one of the keys. And Pedro has said that he's trying to push all of his starting pitchers to go deeper in the game because he realizes, just like everybody else, if you get those outs from the starter, it puts less pressure on the bullpen, and eventually the bullpen is going to be one of your better assets, and that's really what's happened. I mean, Brebbie is throwing much better. Tanner Banks has been much better. I know it's shaky at times with Michael Kopech, but he's still been getting the job done as far as saving games. And so very slowly, but surely, things from a pitching standpoint are getting considerably better. And with that in mind, there's been a lot of great teams over the years that built it on pitching and defense. They would score occasionally, but they weren't offensive juggernauts by any stretch of the imagination. But pitching and defense will keep you in just about each and every game.
So, Steve, you have a brand-new rebuilt Corvette in your backyard, and it can go 150 miles an hour. And you've taken it out for the last few months at 150 miles an hour, and now you're being told that you must bring it in, and it can only go 80 to 90 miles an hour. Such is the case for Garrett Crochet. How do you come up with a plan that makes sense for the pitcher, for the team, for the fan base going forward when you're pretty much in uncharted waters with a guy that's been that dominant?
Well, you're certainly right that you've been in uncharted waters because he's flown by his all-time innings pitched, you know, during the course of his career. But I think the plan that they came up with, and this was the coaching staff and Pedro, and certainly I'm sure the front office, because this is a big decision what they want to do with him. And the plan, if in fact they do keep him, and I would anticipate that they're going to, I know the trading deadline has come up. And with that, every team that's going to finish up the track, has got all of these guys that are available assets, and then you have everybody predicting that this guy's going to move, that guy's going to move. And what Chris Getz said was right. He's willing to listen on everybody. If you want this guy, just tell me what you're willing to trade for him. And you don't lose anything by listening. So I agree with that philosophy from Chris Getz. That being said, there's a couple guys he certainly doesn't want to trade. One is Luis Robert. The other is Garrett Crochet, not necessarily in that order. But if you overwhelm them with something, then you have to listen to it. You have to entertain that idea if you want to make your club better. That being said, I don't think that that they're going to trade Crochet. Now, they're probably getting proposals. I'm pretty sure they are. This is a missing piece to a lot of teams thinking that not only can they win and get into the playoffs, but they've got a 1-2 starter in the playoffs if they trade for Crochet. I know that, and I know that he's very well desired. But what they're going to do, I believe, is not necessarily limit how hard he throws, how many innings he throws per se, but they're going to give him more times between starts to stay strong and to be here the entire year and to continue to pitch. And I think that makes some sense. Give him 6 days at times. Give him 7 days at times between starts. And then, you know, he gets to 90-some pitches. you pull him out of the game. But you're not asking him to throw, you know, instead of throwing 98, why don't you throw 93 or 4 for a while? You're not asking him to do that. Because at this stage of his development, I'm not sure that he's good enough to be able to do that. There are certain pitchers that can. You got Zach Wheeler with Philadelphia that's doing that right now, taking his velocity, taking it down, pitching, throwing as many innings, but he's not throwing the ball as hard, but he's equally as successful. So there's certain pitchers doing that.
Yeah, so Steve, from your experience, you know, having been a Cy Young Award winner, author of 107 wins during your career, a long career, and observing at the level that you have over the years, is that a surefired way of skipping a pitcher to keep his arm strong and keeping it intact? I haven't heard over the many years that I've been doing it, and you know, I think your career and mine mirrors each other as far as years. Anybody come up with an exact plan for an exact pitcher, knowing that each individual is totally different?
Yeah, I don't think, Bruce, you can find that, because you don't find this situation very often. When you look at how unique this is, you get a guy who came to professional baseball, and he was, for the most part, he was a reliever in college. He came into professional baseball, he was a reliever. He stayed a reliever for a bit until they gave him an opportunity to start, which was this year. And now you're seeing a guy as a starting pitcher in the major leagues for the first time. This is a unique situation. This is not something that happens every day with all of these guys, because most of the guys that are as dominant a starter as Garrett has been, these are guys who have been a starting pitcher for quite some time. And that hasn't been his case. So, yeah, this is a unique situation, and they're trying to find a way to go through it, which makes Garrett, number one, healthy, number two, happy with what he's accomplishing, number three, keeping him on a semblance of a rotation so he can stay in the rhythm that he's in now, which is ideal. And with that in mind, you know you're running the risk. If you don't move him, you're running the risk of him getting hurt. Every pitcher has that risk. There's not one pitcher goes out there that doesn't have a risk of the next pitch he's going to throw is going to be the last pitch. You just live with that and hope it's not going to be your time. And that's what they're doing with Garrett. Garrett told me that he's feeling really good right now. He's healthy. He's strong. The velocity is there. Everything that he had when he started this season as a starter, he's got now, even probably better control than he had. And so it's a tough decision, but it's one I think the Sox are willing to take.
You're listening to Steve Stone on Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Stoney Crochet, American League Pitcher of the Month for June. And everything that you're saying in terms of desirability and effectiveness, the other factor too, and I know, you know, front offices across the league, he's cheap currently, right? He's not even making $1 million this year. He's controllable for another few years. So it makes sense that the White Sox would ask for Earth, Sun, Moon, and Stars for a guy like Crochet.
Well, there's another guy that, you know, if you had the choice of two and you had to trade one, Eric Fetty would be the guy you would trade before Garrett Crochet. Fetty's been terrific. I mean, you're looking at a guy that absolutely can be a playoff starter for any other team that's getting in the playoffs. He's also making, I think, a touch less than $8 million into next year. So you have him controlled all of this year and all of next year at a very reasonable price for a starter. Not as reasonable as Garrett Crochet, because he actually is an experienced starter. But still, as far as starters go and what guys are making, if they're, you know, an every fifth day guy in the major leagues, $8 million is a bargain. And that's why I believe of a choice of the two, there'll be a lot of teams that are coming to Chris for Eric Fetty. He's been that good. You know, you look at his record, you look at his ERA, you look at his whip, you look at every metric you can for a starting pitcher and factor in the fact that the Sox are in last place and well under 500, and you look at a guy who's over 500 putting together a magnificent year, shows you the value of Eric Fetty.
Unlike many people in Chicago who look for blame as to why a team isn't good, I've been impressed by Pedro Grifol and how he's handled the White Sox. Other than one day where he called them out, which is what a manager would want to do at certain points and times during seasons, certainly not always externally, but internally. I've seen a guy get the very most out of their out of his players and their attention when they didn't. For instance, when Nicky Lopez didn't run out of ground ball about 10 days ago at home, I saw Pedro Grifol approach him and deal with it right away. What was wrong? Are you okay? You physically all right? Why didn't you run that ball out? So with those things in mind, your impressions of Pedro Grifol and getting what he can out of a team that's not expected to win every night.
Well, number one, Bruce, as you know, this is not an easy thing to manage a major league team because you're dealing with 26 different personalities as far as the players are concerned. And then you have coaches and you have front office people and you have media people and everybody's pulling you in every which way or another. Now, every guy who wants to be a major league manager would love to fall into the situation that Dusty Baker fell into in Houston, where he took a team that was largely put together as a championship quality team. They had the cheating scandal. They fire the GM and they fire the manager. Dusty's able to come into that because of his history and the fact that he's going to be a Hall of Fame manager. And he probably was going to be one before he got to Houston, even though he did win his World Series, lone World Series with the Astros. But everybody wants to fall into that situation. You've got a ready-made team that's ready to win. The reality of it is many more managers fall into a situation that Pedro fell into. An under-talented team who is being asked to compete with the best teams in baseball on a daily basis but doesn't have the talent to do it. I'm not sure anybody could have come in and done a better job than Pedro did because we take a look at the deficiencies of this ball club and they're fairly easy to spot. But what he's doing is trying to lay a foundation for when the talent comes up. And bear in mind, the minor league system is much better than it was in the last few years. There is no doubt right now it's rated as one of the better. I'm not going to tell you it's the best. Certainly one of the better systems in baseball. And with that, you bring up an influx of young players to your major league team. Pedro is trying to build that foundation so when this team does get competitive, that it's going to have the proper foundation. And he's doing that. The one thing you can say, look, it's not a good team. We know that. I mean, you evaluate this ball club and you look at the talent and you realize that there are many better teams around. However, one of the things you'd have to say for this team right now, about 95% of these players play as hard as they can on a daily basis. That is a reflection on management and the coaching staff. And so this team right now is playing as hard as it can play for the most part. And I'm not saying it does it, you know, every inning of every game because there are certain guys who, for whatever reason, aren't busting at each and every play. However, when you can say 95% of them are, you realize that that there is some progress being made. And I think by and large, you can criticize Pedro for any number of things. You just can't criticize him for doing the best job he could possibly do with the talent that he was afforded. And it wasn't a whole lot of talent that he was given.
Stoney, we were talking earlier in the show about the importance of bullpens and almost how starting pitching, not that it's been minimized, but I guess how important is starting pitching considering how much and how often bullpen arms are used? And Bruce was mentioning that across the league, there's a lot of teams that, you know, are wondering, hey, are we going to make it through our season with major league ready arms in that bullpen just because of the amount of usage? And as somebody who's been around the game for so long, what do you make and what do you see out of current baseball in terms of the starters go maybe five, maybe six, but then it's all bullpen from there in terms of usage and effectiveness versus, you know, letting the starter go longer?
Well, Pedro is trying to get every one of his starters to go longer into the game, and he wants at least six innings out of them, which means, again, you're getting 18 outs. You're leaving 12 outs for the bullpen. I mean, you're leaving nine outs for the bullpen, and that is doable. So the more you do that, the greater your protection for the bullpen is. And that's what the starting pitchers are being asked to do. And that's why Pedro is trying to get his guys to go deeper in the game, because he realizes if you have a bunch of five and fly guys, you're going to need at least four innings each and every day, and then you're going to have your disasters where a guy gets knocked out early. You're going to need more, and suddenly you find yourself with a very tired bullpen. So I think, like, everything in this game is cyclical. Like, the two-seam fastball disappeared when Driveline told everybody throw four-seam, throw everything as hard as you can. Well, the two-seam fastball is coming back because it's the one fastball that really moves. And with that coming back, the game, which is a cyclical game, is going to come back to the starters going deeper into games. Pedro is trying to encourage all of his starters to do that. He's not the Lone Ranger. There's other managers around who want to see that. And when you do see that, you'll see healthier bullpens.
That's another great point by Steve Stone, who makes a tremendous amount of those every time he's on the Score, or if you're talking to him, as I do in person all the time. Steve, when you look at the fact that I talked to a couple general managers the last 2 days, neither one of them feel that Crochet or Robert are going to be traded, just because of the fact of what they're asking for them and the pitfalls of one player who might be the top five players in baseball, but you can't rely on because of injuries twice, and the other because of the unknown about where Crochet is going to help a team this year. You've already pointed that out. So if that's the case, what do you get for the shortstop? What do you get for Fetty? What do you get for Lopez? Are you going to be underwhelmed as to the return of what you get back this trading deadline?
Well, many times, Bruce, what you'll find is that a guy is more valuable to you than he is in what you can get in return. And consequently, you don't trade that guy. But that happens a lot. I think you do get a considerable amount for Fetty. I don't think you get near as much for DeJong or for Lopez. You know, Paul is leading the team in home runs, so he's got that going for him. The ideal situation that I had heard would have been the Dodgers when Mookie Betts went down. However, that being said, I heard they're looking for more of an everyday shortstop kind of guy that they can take into next year and move Betts to second base, where they're a little happier with his defense than they are at shortstop, and that would leave Paul out. And so I think that I think the Dodgers will go a different way. So I think probably if you take Luis and you take Garrett off the table, I think Fetty becomes probably your most valuable guy. And that's a guy that you can do real well as far as a return is concerned, because you have him for another year and a half. As far as the other guys on your ball club, you can move, you know, you can move just about anybody you want on this team, but then you get into the return I get, is it worth it? Will the hole I leave be more damaging to me than what I get in return for a trade? And then you look at who you're going to bring up in the minor leagues, and you'd have to tell yourself, eventually, Colson Montgomery is going to be here, and maybe a couple others. You know, maybe Noah Schultz. I don't know exactly, but that's one of the names you hear a lot. So you don't really know exactly what they're planning to do, but what they are planning to do will directly affect the trades that you make or don't make as we head into the trade deadline.
Stoney, we really appreciate your time and insight, and certainly things have been a lot more positive on the South side. It's good to see some good baseball being played, and especially enjoyable for me anyway to watch these young pitchers shine. It's been
fun. Have a good show, Bruce. Have a good show, and I'll talk to you guys down the road.
Appreciate it, Stoney. Steve Stone from White Sox TV joining us here on Inside Clubhouse, and all good insights, and we will break those down as we continue here on the show. We need to take a quick time out, though. Some chin music coming back, and one of our veteran media members, a little Q&A with Craig Counsell, goes back and forth. It's fun. We want you to listen to it. We will play that for you when we return, and we'll dive into some of the White Sox items that Stoney talked about after that. This is Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
High and inside, arching music, a little chin music. Take that hit for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alex. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Jed said a week ago that the team didn't start showing something that he was going to have to start thinking of other options. Did you guys talk about that at all? I mean, you haven't really improved since then.
No, we have not talked about that, but I'm sure.
How often do you talk?
How often do we talk? Daily? Yeah.
And it doesn't come up?
It doesn't do anything for what we have to do today for me. Do I know? I know that stuff has to be on his mind. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's not on your mind too. Or?
No. What am I going to do about it?
Well, I thought that you kind of team there too.
But what am I going to do about it right now, like today?
Today, nothing.
Yeah.
You still have to think about the future, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is how it works for every team in this spot in July. Like, every team goes through this, and your job is to play better. And that's where you got to put your energy to, and that's where we'll put our energy to.
A very fun back and forth there with Cubs skipper Craig Counsell and Paul Sullivan from the Tribune, Bruce, on our Chin Music segment. And how often do they talk? Well, daily. Well, what do you think about
you mean Sully this and Counsell?
Yeah.
Or are you talking?
maybe there is a phone a friend type thing with Sully and Counsell. I'm going to guess not, but no, that was fun and a little kind of back and forth behind the scenes, the old reporter manager conversation there, and you're there for all of those.
So the intrepid reporter has to ask the question, in the case Paul Sullivan, of, hey, it's a trade deadline. Are you guys talking about it? Fair question, you know. Counsell, the manager, is, yeah, I know what's going on, but I'm not alluding to it. I'm not telling you what we talk about, and it's not helping me win this game today. The reporter comes back and says, yeah, but you're going to need some help here, and are you going to make a trade? The manager comes back and says, that's not my job, and it's also not my job to tell you if a player has been brought up in conversation, because we're not exposing it. So it's a classic example, Mike, of what goes on when you have a great reporter and a future Hall of Fame writer in Paul Sullivan trying to do his job, and at the same time the manager protecting against information getting out about what players are being talked about and who Hoyer would be moving. So again, I thought as an example of that, we would bring it to our audience and let people listen to how we go about our job and also how a manager like Counsell is like, you know, basically saying, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything about what's going on. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to speculate on my shortstop or my second baseman being traded, put that out there and let them hear about it so they can have one more thing to distract them. But again, it's two people doing their jobs to the best of their ability without tearing each other's heads off.
And if I may ask you a question about, because you're there every day, and to me, as somebody who loves baseball, who loves, you know, the media and journalism and covering teams, as somebody who does it every day, that's got to be, for you, part of the fun too, because I know you're at heart a huge baseball fan, and being there and trying to ferret out some of this information and trying to, as you said, do your job for the fans and for the station to try to get the content that our listeners are looking for, that's got to be a very fun part of it for you, I would imagine.
I'm going to use an old inappropriate statement that they used to say and say, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, okay? Uh-huh. It's not acceptable to say that anymore, but it's an old term meaning there's a lot of ways to get information, okay? And the classic one is in a media setting, asking the manager directly, you know, what are you guys doing about the fact that you're underachieving? Manager responding, we're doing something, but we're not telling you about it. So, you know, there's one-on-ones that you have with managers sometimes. There's scouts that I talk to. There's front office executives that I talk to. There's carpenters at the ballpark. There's electricians. I've gotten some of the best stories I've ever gotten from people that work at the ballpark because they know what's happening. I got the story that lights were going into Wrigley Field because a friend of mine was a carpenter and was told he's going to have to build lights, okay? So that happened, you know, in 1987. Those are the things that when you're at a ballpark, and people tell you in any work life, being there and being at a place early is 95% of the job. It is. Also, the people that you talk to, the people that you know, that's really 95% of the job. You know, how many friends you have, how many people trust you, how many people you talk to on a daily basis, where you go to for your information can be many, many different sources. So Sully was just approaching one of those ways he goes about doing his job. And I thought it was fun to bring that out for Chin Music today.
Yeah, no, and I love it. You know, we've talked about it on these airwaves. You know, Council is he's not gonna volunteer stuff, right? He's a man of if he's got something to say, he's gonna say it, and he's not gonna expound on it. He doesn't need or want to do that. So I loved you could kind of hear it in his voice, you know, kind of the playful, like, you expect me to tell you this? Am I going to tell you this? Of course I talk to him every day, but, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to tell you what those conversations are about.
So my job and Sully's job is to have other sources, go to them, have them trust you, or if indeed it's a case of Council and he wants to tell you something off the record, in this case, off the record means you have background. It doesn't mean you can ever use the information or that person as a source. That's part of the huge game that reporters have to play in order to do their job. And every one of them that's out covering the Cubs and White Sox do this, know this, and try to make this work to their benefit every day.
And Bruce, I can't believe I've known you as long as I have, and I've never heard the lights story before. That's super interesting. Back when lights at Wrigley Field was a massive story, that you broke the story with information from a carpenter.
I'm sitting there on the bench with my friend John, and I'm going, "What's going on?" He goes, "Oh, I got to go buy a whole bunch of new wood." I said, "What for?" He goes, "Oh, you know, we're just going to have to go because we're putting lights up here at Wrigley Field." And you know, I went, "What?" And he goes, yeah, we're putting light. And for him, it was like, you know, he's a great guy and a great Cub fan. But for him, it was like a ton of work that was going to go on for the next year. Okay. For me, it was the biggest story that I ever had as a reporter up to that point. Still might be, 35 years or 40 years later. So interesting.
Super interesting. Absolutely. We appreciate that story. We need to take a quick time out, Bruce. When we return, optimism on both sides of towns, and I'll put a question mark after that, but we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. We just talked about it with Stoney. Are the White Sox pointed in the right direction and then heading into the trade deadline with some optimism? And the Cubs, their recent two-game streak here, are they turning things around? We will talk to you about that. We also want to remind you, you can meet Ron Coomer 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Friday night, July 19th at his restaurant, Coom's Corner in Lockport. Coom will meet fans, sign autographs, have giveaways, memorabilia, and lots more. It's all brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and sure to be a lot of great baseball talk and baseball stories with our buddy Coom that night at Coom's Corner, 7 to 8:30 on Friday, July 19th. Again, optimism. We'll talk about it next with you, both Cubs and Sox fans, on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Fans are standing at Wrigley. This fan support day in, day out, just incredible. We never take it for granted. It is not this way in every park, trust me. Bouncer to third, this is going to do it. Mastroboni throws him out. A complete game for Justin Steele. His first win of the year, and it's a complete game.
That one right there was probably, you know, best baseball moment in my life. That was really cool. I want to keep doing it.
That's Justin Steele, and that was Pat and Ron on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Yesterday, a complete game, two-hitter for Steele. Best moment of his baseball life, you just heard him say. As we are back for our final segment here on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito with you on the Score. And as we head on out to the phone lines, we heard from Steele, the Cubs on a two-game winning streak. Is there a cause for optimism based on that? And the Sox, same thing. We've seen some nice pitching, including yesterday from Drew Thorpe. So, Bruce, let's ask our listeners what they think. Let's head up to Wisconsin, and Dan joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Bruce, Mike Love, Inside Baseball. I got some optimism for the White Sox. My cousins were at the Cubs game yesterday. I had a great time. But I got to say, you know, first of all, this has been the most insulting season as a fan I've ever experienced, especially with the tank and no prospect of a good draft pick. Saw how that worked out for the Cubs with Brian Schwarber Baez. Draft picks are kind of poo-pooed in baseball, but my draft picks do pay off. But I see us having, you know, Corey Lee, this other catcher, Cuero, coming up, Montgomery. If we can hang on to Robert, that's strength up the middle. And that's the axiom in every sport, essentially, but in baseball in particular, if you got catchers and shortstop and outfield, you're center field, you're in good shape. I'm a little concerned about some of the trade returns I'm hearing for, like, Robert. And, you know, Bruce, you mentioned he's a top five player when he's healthy. He's a top 30 player even when he's not healthy. They're talking like second overall, fifth overall, 12th, 21st in like the Dodgers system, for instance. And that's like insulting. Like, I wouldn't trade Robert for the 1 through 5 in almost any team's prospect pool. I don't see how somebody gets the best player in a trade deal and we get maybe 2-3 guys who will make the majors and be 1-2 WAR players, and they're getting a 4-5, maybe 6-7 WAR player. The other thing with Crochet, I'm concerned about our culture. I don't know if it's Chris Getz or the ownership, or if he's concerned about our future. Is there a potential to, you know, buy out the last 2 years and give him like a 6-year, $10 million contract? Is it money or is it culture? And Gavin Sheets versus Andrew Vaughn. I haven't heard much talk about Andrew Vaughn getting traded. As, you know, with Rizzo going down in the with the Yankees, I thought he'd be a great option. Maybe get like their Spencer Jones or get an outfielder. If we can get rid of Pham and DeYoung and Fetty and maybe get an outfielder or two for next year or the year after with decent strength up the middle, I don't see how this team is nearly as bad. I mean, it's a little bit of an issue culture-wise, you know, Boyer dumping Benetti, Getz not being, you know, a star guy, but...
Yeah, Benetti hasn't lost you any games, okay? And I get it. I understand, you know, your love of White Sox culture and broadcasts, and I think the broadcasts are in good hands going forward. But, Mike, that said, you know, he brings up a lot of ideas here. First of all, with Robert, if you're the other general manager, you're not a White Sox fan or general manager, you're looking at Robert going, yeah, we know he's a great talent. The only reason they're trading him is the fact that he hasn't been able to complete seasons. He's had two long injuries that are concerning to us, and how much can we give up for a guy that hasn't played complete years? You know, he's making good money. He's not making $30 million, but he's making $17 million. How much do we give up from our standpoint to get this player that hasn't played full years yet? And that's right. That's a concern if you're the other general manager. If you're a White Sox fan, you say, well, he's a superstar. He's a top five player. Yeah, he is. But the reason he's possibly being traded is because of the fact that he doesn't play every day. He's been hurt twice. And the question marks for other teams are the same question marks that the White Sox have. Are we going to get 150 games times three out of him for the 3 years we have remaining on his contract?
Yeah, because it's only happened once, and that was last year, 145 games he played, and he was a 5-WAR player with 38 homers and 80 RBIs on last year's team. The problem for that, Bruce, and you mentioned it, is that none of the other years he played 68 games in 21, he played 98 games in 22, and he's already been hurt this year. He's only at 35 games thus far this year. So that is the difficulty with Robert, the I'm sure maddening and frustrating part too, because he is a cornerstone player if he can stay healthy. I mean, and I'll bring Mike Trout into this because I know, you know,
sure,
the Angels are in town playing the Cubs. Here is a guy who is a Hall of Famer. He already is a Hall of Famer. He had one of the most magnificent runs to start a career of any player ever. But you could ask the same questions now about him because he can't. It's been
$180 million they yep. owe him. Okay. Mike, you want to write that check? Because he's not going to play. He's not, you know, as great as he was, as great as his ability is, he plays 40 games a year and he gets hurt, okay? And he's not coming back anytime soon right now after having surgery on his knee, okay? At a certain point, a guy's a star, he's on video games, but he doesn't help you because he's not out there playing every day. Not his fault, not your fault, but what do you do about it? So that's where the White Sox are at. Are they looking, do they need to be proactive on trading Robert because they know that injury is a part of his profile?
Bruce, let's get out to the south side. Ron is there checking in on White Sox and Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was glad to hear Steve when he mentioned they could get some quality for Fetty, because I keep hearing, well, the White Sox have a lot of players to trade. You're not getting anybody for Fam, the short stuff, nothing of quality, guys. You know what? The problem, the real unfortunate thing about the White Sox is three players that were just let go or they're leaving. Tim Anderson, Yoan Moncada, and Eloy, that you are getting nothing. You know, you didn't get anything for Tim. Definitely, and I hope we don't have to watch Yoan Moncada. That's the unfortunate thing, guys. When you look at those stars, like when the Cubs, you know, made their trades when the team – it was time to, you know, rebuild. They got some players for those guys. But see, those three guys, Sox haven't gotten anything. But I really just want to say, they are not – the only thing that they're going to be able to do, you all, you're going to have to trade Crochet. They have some pitch. You have to trade from your strength, which appears that they're going to have young pitchers. Because when I hear people say, well, hold Crochet, what, and see him pitch every fifth day? And they're still going to lose. This team has no outfielders. It really got one outfielder in the major league. And look at the minor league system. So you in order to get better, you have to trade. They're going to have to trade Robert and Crochet. There is no other way of getting better. They're not going to sign a lot of free agents. So
right,
that's
Ron.
It, guys.
Yeah, thank you. But, Mike,
thanks,
Ron's
man.
Points are good ones. But you don't have to trade him today. You don't have to trade him tomorrow or the 30th. You can trade him in the offseason, okay? You're still going to have 2 years remaining on Crochet's contract. You're going to have 3 years remaining on Robert, okay? So if you want optimum amount and you want somebody to feel better about your players, let these guys play the rest of the year. Let Robert stay healthy the rest of the year. And then in the wintertime, people are going to feel better about the fact that he played all the rest of the year, that Crochet is healthy going into 2025. You want to trade him then? Fine. I mean, I think you're going to get more for him then. I actually do.
Yeah, no, and you know, Bruce, we saw it bringing it full circle. We talked about Drew Thorpe earlier. He came over in the Dylan Cease trade. We did shows on this, you know, about trading Dylan Cease and when will it happen? Should it have happened earlier than it did? They held him into this offseason, into spring training, and finally pulled the trigger on it. And I would think, and you can verify this better than most, that they got a nice haul for him when they did finally pull the trigger on it.
Well, the guy pitched last night. He's won three games already.
Yep.
He throws 92. He's got one of the best changeups in baseball. The 92 looks like 95 or 96 because the changeup is so good. They did a good job of identifying good young talent. They have to continue to do that. That's their charge for Chris Getz and the White Sox. Oh, let them keep going, okay? You know, it's like, we know this season's lost. Let's keep moving forward if you're a White Sox fan. Mike, we have people to thank, including Sean Sears, for a job well done as our producer today. Luke Little, the Chicago Cubs, joined us. Steve Stone, our White Sox expert as well. Mike, thank you for sitting in for David. We'll be back next week. It was fun.
Always fun, Bruce, and absolutely a pleasure to sit in for David. Lots more coming up here on The Score today. We have Big Ant Heron coming up next. And then at 12:45, Cubs pregame, Zach Zaidman, Pat Ron with the first pitch at 1:20. Thanks to all the callers and texters. Sean Sears, thank you for a great job. As always, Big Ant Heron coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Fans are standing at Wrigley. This fan support day in, day out, just incredible. We never take it for granted. It is not this way in every park, trust me. Bouncer to third, this is going to do it. Mastroboni throws him out. A complete game for Justin Steele. His first win of the year, and it's a complete game.
That one right there was probably, you know, best baseball moment in my life. That was really cool. I want to keep doing it.
That's Justin Steele, and that was Pat and Ron on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Yesterday, a complete game, two-hitter for Steele. Best moment of his baseball life, you just heard him say. As we are back for our final segment here on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito with you on the Score. And as we head on out to the phone lines, we heard from Steele, the Cubs on a two-game winning streak. Is there a cause for optimism based on that? And the Sox, same thing. We've seen some nice pitching, including yesterday from Drew Thorpe. So, Bruce, let's ask our listeners what they think. Let's head up to Wisconsin. And Dan joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Good to see you. Bruce, Mike, love Inside Baseball. I got some optimism for the White Sox. My cousins were at the Cubs game yesterday. I had a great time. But I got to say, you know, first of all, this has been the most insulting season as a fan I've ever experienced, especially with the tank and no prospect of a good draft pick. Saw how that worked out for the Cubs with Brian Schwarber Baez. Draft picks are kind of poo-pooed in baseball, but my draft picks do pay off. But I see us having, you know, Corey Lee, this other catcher, Cuero, coming up, Montgomery. If we can hang on to Robert, that's strength up the middle. And that's the axiom in every sport, essentially, but in baseball in particular, if you got catchers and shortstop and outfield, you're center field, you're in good shape. I'm a little concerned about some of the trade returns I'm hearing for, like, Robert. And, you know, Bruce, you mentioned he's a top five player when he's healthy. He's a top 30 player even when he's not healthy. They're talking, like, second overall, fifth overall, 12th, 21st in, like, the Dodgers system, for instance. And that's, like, insulting. Like, I wouldn't trade Robert for the 1 through 5 in almost any team's prospect pool. I don't see how somebody gets the best player in a trade deal and we get maybe 2-3 guys who will make the majors and be 1-2 war players, and they're getting a 4-5, maybe 6-7 war player. The other thing with Crochet, I'm concerned about our culture. I don't know if it's Chris Getz or the ownership, or if he's concerned about our future. Is there a potential to, you know, buy out the last 2 years and give him like a 6-year, $10 million contract? Is it money or is it culture? And Gavin Sheets versus Andrew Vaughn. I haven't heard much talk about Andrew Vaughn getting traded. As, you know, with Rizzo going down in the with the Yankees, I thought he'd be a great option. Maybe get like their Spencer Jones or get an outfielder. If we can get rid of Pham and DeYoung and Fetty, and maybe get an outfielder or two for next year or the year after with decent strength up the middle, I don't see how this team is nearly as bad. I mean, it's a little bit of an issue culture-wise, you know, Boyer dumping Benetti, Getz not being, you know, a star guy, but...
Yeah, Benetti hasn't lost you any games, okay? And I get it. I understand, you know, your love of White Sox culture and broadcasts, and I think the broadcasts are in good hands going forward. But, Mike, that said, you know, he brings up a lot of ideas here. First of all, with Robert, if you're the other general manager, you're not a White Sox fan or general manager, you're looking at Robert going, yeah, we know he's a great talent. The only reason they're trading him is the fact that he hasn't been able to complete seasons. He's had two long injuries that are concerning to us, and how much can we give up for a guy that hasn't played complete years? You know, he's making good money. He's not making $30 million, but he's making $17 million. How much do we give up from our standpoint to get this player that hasn't played full years yet? And that's right. That's a concern if you're the other general manager. If you're a White Sox fan, you say, well, he's a superstar. He's a top five player. Yeah, he is. But the reason he's possibly being traded is because of the fact that he doesn't play every day. He's been hurt twice. And the question marks for other teams are the same question marks that the White Sox have. Are we going to get 150 games times three out of him for the 3 years we have remaining on his contract?
Yeah, because it's only happened once, and that was last year, 145 games he played, and he was a 5-war player with 38 homers and 80 RBIs on last year's team. The problem for that, Bruce, and you mentioned it, is that none of the other years he played 68 games in 21, he played 98 games in 22, and he's already been hurt this year. He's only at 35 games thus far this year. So that is the difficulty with Robert, I'm sure maddening and frustrating part too, because he is a cornerstone player if he can stay healthy. I mean, and I'll bring Mike Trout into this because I know, you know,
sure,
the Angels are in town playing the Cubs. Here is a guy who is a Hall of Famer. He already is a Hall of Famer. He had one of the most magnificent runs to start a career of any player ever. But you could ask the same questions now about him because he can't. It's been
$180 million they yep. owe him. Okay. Mike, you want to write that check? Because he's not going to play. He's not, you know, as great as he was, as great as his ability is, he plays 40 games a year and he gets hurt. Okay. And he's not coming back anytime soon right now after having surgery on his knee. Okay. At a certain point, a guy's a star.
He's on video games, but he doesn't help you because he's not out there playing every day. Not his fault, not your fault, but what do you do about it? So that's where the White Sox are at. Are they looking? Do they need to be proactive on trading Robert because they know that injury is a part of his profile?
Bruce, let's get out to the south side. Ron is there checking in on White Sox and Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was glad to hear Steve when he mentioned they could get some quality for Fetty, because I keep hearing, well, the White Sox have a lot of players to trade. You're not getting anybody for Fam, the shortstop, nothing of quality, guys. You know what? The problem, the real, real unfortunate thing about the White Sox is three players that were just let go or they're leaving. Tim Anderson, Yoan Moncada, and Eloy, that you are getting nothing. You know, you didn't get anything for Tim. Definitely, and I hope we don't have to watch Yoan Moncada. That's the unfortunate thing, guys. When you look at those stars, like when the Cubs, you know, made their trades when the team – it was time to, you know, rebuild. They got some players for those guys. But see, those right. three guys, Sox haven't gotten anything. But I really just want to say, they are not – the only thing that they're going to be able to do, you all, you're going to have to trade Crochet. They have some pitch. You have to trade from your strength, which appears that they're going to have young pitchers. Because when I hear people say, well, hold Crochet, what, and see him pitch every fifth day? And they're still going to lose. This team has no outfielders. It really got one outfielder in the major league. And look at the minor league system. So you in order to get better, you have to trade. They're going to have to trade Robert and Crochet. There is no other way of getting better. They're not going to sign a lot of free agents. So
right,
that's
Ron.
It, guys.
Yeah, thank you. But, Mike,
thanks,
Ron's
man.
Points are good ones. But you don't have to trade him today. You don't have to trade him tomorrow or the 30th. You can trade him yep. in the offseason, okay? You're still going to have 2 years remaining on Crochet's contract. You're going to have 3 years remaining on Robert, okay? So if you want optimum amount and you want somebody to feel better about your players, let these guys play the rest of the year. Let Robert stay healthy the rest of the year. And then in the wintertime, people are going to feel better about the fact that he played all the rest of the year, that Crochet is healthy going into 2025. You want to trade him then? Fine. I mean, I think you're going to get more for him then. I actually do.
Yeah, no, and you know, Bruce, we saw it bringing it full circle. We talked about Drew Thorpe earlier. He came over in the Dylan Cease trade. We did shows on this, you know, about trading Dylan Cease and when will it happen? Should it have happened earlier than it did? They held him into this offseason, into spring training, and finally pulled the trigger on it. And I would think, and you can verify this better than most, that they got a nice haul for him when they did finally pull the trigger on it.
Well, the guy pitched last night. He's won three games already.
Yep.
He throws 92. He's got one of the best changeups in baseball. The 92 looks like 95 or 96 because the changeup is so good. They did a good job of identifying good young talent. They have to continue to do that. That's their charge for Chris Getz and the White Sox. I'll let them keep going, okay? You know, it's like, we know this season's lost. Let's keep moving forward if you're a White Sox fan. Mike, we have people to thank, including Sean Sears, for a job well done as our producer today. Luke Little, the Chicago Cubs, joined us. Steve Stone, our White Sox expert as well. Mike, thank you for sitting in for David. We'll be back next week. It was fun.
Always fun, Bruce, and absolutely a pleasure to sit in for David. Lots more coming up here on The Score today. We have Big Ant Heron coming up next. And then at 12:45, Cubs pregame, Zach Zaidman, Pat Ron with the first pitch at 1:20. Thanks to all the callers and texters. Sean Sears, thank you for a great job. As always, Big Ant Heron coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.